We are continuing our walk through Luke chapter 12, where Jesus addresses fear. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 12, where Jesus addressed the fear of people. And I believe that today's passage is continuing with the theme of fear by way of addressing a wrong view of material possessions and a wrong view of where real life is found. Jesus is addressing, he's speaking against the belief that real life is found in material possessions. If one really wants to be alive and have a life, you must pursue and acquire more and more material possessions. But that belief, what it does is it feeds the fear of a lack of possessions, resulting in a lack of possessions, which results in a poorly lived life, a life that's not as meaningful as one that has all these possessions. It's a fear of missing out on the good life. And the parable Jesus shows, that he gives, shows how that belief and that fear, how foolish it really is. But this fear of missing out on the good life, not having a great life, is what advertising is all about, isn't it? If you're missing out on, you're going to be missing out on really living. And if you are missing out on really living, the ads will say, buy this product and we'll help you have the life that you have always wanted. Wealth is seen the same way by the world. If you had more money, then life would be great. Then you'd really be living. You can have freedom at 55 years old. I wonder if social media fits in here. The number of views or the number of likes or the number of followers, it's a commodity. If you possess a lot of followers or likes or views, then you're really, really living. Then you've got life. So it's this fear of missing out on life. Let's pray together and then look at this passage and get ready to hear from the Lord through his word to us. Let's pray. Father, we are desperately in need of you, for your work in our hearts and in our minds. We need you to make your word make sense to us and then apply it to our lives and expose thinking and beliefs in our minds and our hearts. So we come to you and ask, would you do that in us, Lord? Would you make us humble so that we can hear from you and that more of our life is lived in worship of you? Please, Father, would you do that? We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pick up on this continuing theme of fear a little more. Verses 13 to 21 that Peter just read for us is in a context of the verses around them. We know this. We also know that each of the books of the Bible were usually written, or the New Testament anyway, were written as letters. And as they are written as letters, they did not have the chapters and verses, the breaks in them. They were just ongoing letters. And the breaking the letters into chapters and verses is very helpful, but those breaks don't always mean that the theme has stopped or a new theme has begun. And I think that's what's going on here. The theme of fear is continuing. In verse 1, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He's giving a warning. And then in verses 4 through 7, he explains why his followers should not fear the Pharisees. Don't fear people. In verses 8 to 12, Jesus said that everyone who acknowledges him before man, he will acknowledge before God. So don't fear acknowledging Jesus before man. Plus, don't fear being arrested and brought before the authorities. The Holy Spirit will give words to say. So the message there is don't fear. The topic of fear is before verse 13. Then in verse 15, our passage this morning, which is the main subject of verses 13 to 21, Jesus said, take care, be on your guard against covetousness. And coveting is this greedy desire to have more and more. And Jesus warns his followers about greed. And Jesus explains why people should be on their guard. And here's the reason. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So life means this active fullness, this vigorous existence that we have as people. So covetousness is driven by the belief that one's life is meaningless if one doesn't have a lot of possessions. A full life, a great existence, depends upon the abundance of possessions one has. And if that is a belief that the person has, then being without a lot of possessions must be terrifying. Fear of not having a full, great life must motivate a greedy pursuit of more and more possessions. If the measurement of a great life is how much you possess, then the pursuit of more stuff is driven by the fear of not having a great life. If you don't have these things, your life is not going to be good. And it's different for all of us. Could be money, trips, electronics, food, houses, cars, whatever. Those things in abundance make a great life. Lacking them make for a sad, empty life. Then the theme of fear and anxiety carries on into verse 22. Jesus says, therefore, and that word, we know that the word therefore means because of what was just said. So Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Because of what I just said, verses 13 to 21, don't be anxious. Don't fear for your life. Don't have fear in your life. And he goes on in after verse 22 to address fear and anxiety of having the necessities of life. So all that to say, in verses 13 to 21, Jesus is continuing to address fear, which started in verse 1 and continues past verse 22. And in verse 13 to 21, it's the fear of not having an abundant life, not having a great life. And he does this in addressing the wrong belief that material possessions are what make a great life. And this is not a belief or a fear that is unfamiliar to most of us. Because who hasn't evaluated their life and in some way believed that more money or more things would provide the happiness and the joy in life that we really want? And who hasn't feared having their comforts and their material possessions taken away? So with that awareness of the before and after context of verses 13 to 21, let's walk through this passage. As we saw last week, there was a huge crowd that gathered around Jesus to listen to him teach. And in verse 13, there's this guy in the crowd who calls out to Jesus out of the blue and said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus, to this point, has not said anything about money or inheritance or family arguments. He's been talking about fear, but this guy just goes for it. And what's awkward is the guy's brother is most likely in the crowd with him. He said to Jesus, tell my brother. Well, for Jesus to be able to do that would mean that the brother is present. So imagine the surprise and the looks going back and forth between these two brothers when this guy calls out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." You know, maybe even the guy was even pointing at his brother. "Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Just an awkward scene. Apparently, the guy calling out his brother believes that the brother is holding back their parents' inheritance. He's holding back his share of the inheritance from his parents. He believes he's being cheated. He's being ripped off. He gives no explanation or information. He just wants Jesus to rule in his favor. The authoritative teacher is to weigh in and tell his brother to hand over the money. Jesus, tell him. Tell him. In those days, this often happened where a rabbi would come to town and people would go to them for decisions in local matters. But how awkward to throw this random question out at Jesus. But Jesus has a great response to this guy. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" I love that start to the sentence. "Man, hey man." I think I should start incorporating that into my responses. "Hey Edgar, do you want to hear about my week? Hey man, who made me?" Listener, sounds pretty cool. But calling him man in this way is addressing him as a stranger. And it's not addressing him in a warm way. One scholar said that Jesus responded like this because he came to bring men to God, not to bring property to men. And that makes sense. So Jesus responds in that way. But he keeps on going. He doesn't get roped into this family battle because his concern is about the heart issue going on here. And that's what he addresses, the underlying attitude to this guy's request. And that's when Jesus said, "Take care, beware, watch yourself," which some see is too weak of a translation of that Greek word. Some think that it's stronger. It's like, guard yourself, take action to repel something, that kind of a word. And in this case, the action, what they need to repel is this belief that material possessions equals a great life. And Jesus said in verse 15, "One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." More possessions does not equal a great life. Therefore, there is no need to fear missing out a great life because of lack of possessions. There's no fear, there's no need for fearing a lack of possessions. That's what Jesus is going for. The guy in the crowd who is calling out to Jesus is trying to force his brother's hand and publicly expose him and his this family feud because he covets. He is greedy for more and more because he believes life does consist of one's possessions. And of course, along comes the fear of missing out on the great life. And so he's mad and wants his brother to hand over his stuff, for his brother to stop standing in the way of his life. And then Jesus gives a parable in verse 16 to 20. And this parable illustrates verse 13 to 15. The parable illustrates who Jesus believes this guy is, the underlying attitude of this guy. He's fleshing out verses 13 to 15. The rich man in this parable is representing the guy who called out to Jesus. This rich guy in the parable has the attitude that Jesus discerns is held by the guy from the crowd calling out his brother, and has that attitude, that belief that one's life does consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's what this parable is about. Let's look at it. Verse 16, there is a rich guy. His land produced a lot of crops, a bumper crop. So he just kept on getting wealthier and wealthier. He ends up having so much excess, extra crops, that storage becomes an issue for him. Getting the crops to the market wasn't an issue. Storing his excess was the issue. He just had so much. So he had to face the question, what do I do with my excess? He didn't see this as an opportunity to help others, but as a situation in which he must protect and keep safe his excess. It's about storage, not selling or giving away what he's got. In verse 18, his answer to this excess problem that he has is build more storage. I have too much. I need to make more room to store what I have. So his plan is to tear down perfectly good barns and build bigger barns so he can stockpile his excess. That's his solution, because life consists of the abundance of his possessions. And in verse 19, we really get a good view of this guy's heart. Now that with his plan in place and his excess of wealth going to be protected and stored in these huge barns, now he believes that he has arrived. Now he's got enough to have this great life. He's set. His troubles are over. Now he'll really start living, enjoying years of personal pleasure, because the good life is dependent on the abundance of stuff. So he has lived to accumulate. He lived to gain more. He worshiped himself and accumulated possessions, and he's got them, and now it's time to live. It's all about self-centered indulgence. Now he can relax and really live and eat, drink, and be merry. He's met his goal. He's arrived. He's not missing out on anymore because he's got the accumulation of wealth and possessions. And then the reality of the temporary versus the eternal enters his life. That very night of his great plan of obtaining the great life, the guy dies. And what happens to his stuff? It all becomes someone else's. Death separates him from his riches. His riches can do nothing for him. This guy feared having a miserable life, feared not relaxing and eating and drinking and being merry, so he hoards his wealth, and then the eternal God comes and requires his life. And in verse 20, God calls him a fool. Fool in the Old Testament is usually used for one who rejects the truth that God is the basis and the source of life, for fullness and a vigorous existence. That's a fool. And this rich guy was a fool because he counted on the temporary for his source of life as his life. In the light of God's glory and eternity, in and of themselves, possessions are meaningless. Possessions are temporary. They give a temporary joy, and that is it. And that's what this guy counted on, and his stuff did not deliver him the life that he wanted. And in that, he rejected the Lord. Verse 21 summarizes this parable. It holds up the two options, being rich toward self or being rich toward God. And laying up treasure for self is being rich toward self, greedily gathering and hoarding. It's foolish. That's how the farmer lived, coveting, greedy for more and more accumulation of wealth, life being all about self and pleasures through possessions and protecting those possessions and fearing being without them. And we know from teachings of Jesus that this kind of living and believing leads to hell. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24, where your treasure is, your heart will be. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Rich toward God is the opposite. It's giving wealth to God, giving abundantly to God, honoring things, using money and possessions to serve and to worship God. Those actions come from believing that Jesus is the source of life, believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. It's believing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live, John 11, verse 25. It's coming from believing that Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. It comes from believing Jesus is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him shall not hunger, and whoever believes in him shall never thirst. It's believing that Jesus is life, and the life is the light for all men. Those who believe these truths are rich toward God, because fullness of life, abundance of life, vigorous existence, that is all found in Jesus Christ, not in possessions. But when life is all about possessing a lot of things, covetousness is present, as well as the motivation of fear of not having life, a nagging fear of losing what one has, a fear of living a pointless, meaningless life. Therefore, pursue possessions, protect them, and get more, because life is all about the abundance of possessions. God's people, us, those of us who have been saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can confidently live and give stuff away because life is in Christ. We don't need to accumulate. We don't need to store and hoard. The true worshiper of God does not need to fear having an unfulfilled life. We don't need to fear missing out on a great life. We don't need to fear living a pointless life because we have life in Jesus Christ. Our deepest need is met in Christ, and he is satisfying. He gives us purpose. He is our purpose. He is our life. Money and possessions are never satisfying. They define life for the world. That's how the world lives. But for us, as followers and worshipers of Jesus Christ, our eyes have been opened to the truth that life is found in Christ. There is satisfaction, not in a house, in a car, in a trip, in a new gadget. That's nothing. We don't need to fear not having that kind of stuff because we are resting in our Heavenly Father who supplies what we need, who is trustable, whose hand reaches into eternity past, eternity future, and is sovereign over everything. We don't need to fear. Those temporary things, trusting in the abundance of possessions and for a fulfilled life, is about as wise as fearing man instead of fearing God, fearing limited temporary creatures instead of the eternal sovereign God. It's just as foolish. How foolish is it to trust in a new iPhone to bring you a joyful life when the Heavenly Father provides life in Christ now and for eternity, meeting our deepest needs and deepest longings? Amen. How foolish. Church, don't fear missing out on the pleasures of this life. Focus on the deep, eternal fulfillment God gives us through Jesus Christ. Don't fear not having a great life here on earth. Focus on who God is and who you are for eternity in Christ. Psalm 34, verse 8 to 10. Listen to this. This is an invitation from the Lord to us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Well, you might go, well, I'm lacking stuff. I need a better car. I need this. I need that. No, you're not lacking. The Lord is supplying your need, but you have a standard that's more according to the world than according to God. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord, how he meets your needs. Trust in the Lord to meet your needs. Do without. Do without. You're going to be okay. Life is found in Christ. And if you are in Christ, if you have repented and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for your right standing before the holy God, you're not missing out on a great life here on earth. You have life in abundance for eternity. You can watch TV shows, you can watch movies, you can watch advertisements where people are living up the life and having all this wealth and, oh, look at them, they're having a great life. I wish I was like that. I'm missing out. No, you're not. You're not. That is the world's definition of life. That is what the world is living for. That's the world's answer to everything. And it's false, and it's leading people to hell. To hell. It's not leading them to have it's not leading them down mistakes. It's leading them to hell because it is held up as what is all important. It's held up as that is life. It is held up for as what needs to be worshipped. It's held up as what should be your God. And it is a lie, and it does not give the life that everyone is craving for. Because that life that we are craving and that only satisfies is found in Jesus Christ. Only there. So brothers and sisters, take care. And be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Let's pray together. Father, so often we sin in believing life consists of the abundance of our possessions. Father, so many times we do buy into materialism. If we only had more, then life would be good. We buy into that, Lord. We buy into the fear of missing out on life, living pointless, or losing the comforts we have. We fear that. Because if we lose them, what an awful way to live. And in doing that, Lord, with that fear, with that belief, we push you aside. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Protect us and strengthen us to reject the devil's message, which comes to us through the world and which is so attractive to our flesh. Expose our sinful beliefs about life, possessions, and wealth, and renew us with your truth, so that we are forever rich toward you, our Heavenly Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.